For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Doing something a little bit different today. It's the same thing, but slightly different because we saw an injustice that we needed to fix. And we needed to make sure we were all on the same page, reference level wise. Yes.
2 days ago, we were definitely scheduled to watch something else, and now we're doing this.
Yes, we are. This was an emergency podcast, as some people would call it. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I am Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Bolito.
And I'm just going to warn everybody right now, despite what we're watching today, Robert Clark Chan is in a prickly mood.
I don't know if they would have been able to tell any difference.
Yeah, he came in with the lowest possible toned voice immediately on his name. They knew something was wrong.
Yeah. The humors are not balanced. There is a lot of
woe
in this room.
Yeah, okay. I had a feeling it was woe. I forget what the other ones are, but I knew woe was the big one. Anyway, so a few days ago, I noticed on Amazon.com, not a plug, please don't buy there. I do, but you shouldn't. That the entire first season of Robotech was available for like $30. And I was like, oh, I may just need to buy that, period. And then I put it in our chat and Gina's like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I'll take the L on this one. Usually I know everything and I'm never wrong and know much more than Ray and Chan about life and the universe and the meaning of everything. I did not know this, and I watched it and was trying to recognize it, and I don't think I did. Like, it has vibes of other anime. It has Sailor Moon vibes, but I don't think I ever watched this. And this actually might be one of those that we found out that it was in syndication in 1985. I might have been too young and missed this.
It's possible because I remember that I was watching an episode of Robotech on Cartoon Network. I want to say it was Toonami in 1992 because I felt the Northridge earthquake while I was watching an episode of Robotech. So it was in syndication, not a whole lot of places. So you could easily have missed it because, like, for as influential as it is, you know, it didn't reach that far into the U.S.
One of the places it was syndicated was in Detroit at 2:30 p.m. on weekdays in the late 80s, maybe early 90s. And it was on right as I was getting home from school. And so I set my VCR. So I got my VCR, I believe, when I was 13 years old. So that puts it right around the late 80s, early 90s. I'm old, folks. And I used to record the episode and then watch it when I got home. because I would only be home for the last like 5-10 minutes of it at best. So I actually had somewhere on VHS tape a bunch of Robotech episodes, and I watched the crap out of this show in syndication. Then it wasn't exactly right when it first came out, but that's when I was able to get it. And I'll tell y'all, Robotech is the granddaddy of all animes. If you consider yourself an anime fan and have not watched the first, I believe, 36 episodes of the original season one Macross saga, you should do yourself a service and do it. It's phenomenal. The stories are great. The animation is great for a syndicated TV show. And it's really what Gina said, it's the basis of what all anime is today, especially the serialized storytelling of, say, like a One Piece or a Dragon Ball Z or any of the newer stuff as well. It all comes from Robotech, and you owe it to yourself to know about it.
But I thought you hated anime, Ray. You frequently maligned the G.I. Joe anime as being too anime-y.
So here's the deal. When I was growing up, and all the way up until a certain age, I loved anime. I went to Blockbuster Video and I downloaded and I rented all of the anime VHS tapes I could. I got the Crying Freemans, the Wicked Cities, the Ninja Scrolls. There's tons more than that. But I got every single thing out of that section that I possibly could, and I enjoyed the heck out of it. And then at some point, And I think this is a normal thing, and I've talked about this before, but I think once you turn like 30, either anime continues to do it for you or a light switch goes off. Because, and I've had a lot of deep conversations about this, is that a lot of anime has to do with coming of age. And once you hit a certain age in life, not Gina, once you hit a certain age in life, you stop identifying with coming of age stories. And so anime just sort of, you still like the idea of it, but you don't go out of your way to seek it. It doesn't speak to you the way it did when you were younger.
Well, I mean, that the thing is that anime is fucking huge. It is, you know, like
it is now. Sure.
Yeah. And no, I'm saying that like the breadth of anime, anime is so much bigger than what we have in the US. The disparity is less now, but there's so much stuff that is in Japan that isn't just giant robots and coming of age. There's like endless different genres, speaks to different audiences, and the stuff that we get is essentially, you know, like it's mostly bro-y shit.
Not Sailor Moon.
Except for, but then it expanded. Then you got things like Sailor Moon. You got stuff like Pokemon, you know, like you got all sorts of different things. And there's a lot more, but also like you don't have to give up anime, but it's, you have to make an effort to find all of the other shit that would speak to you as I'm assuming, 140-year-old man.
Yeah, no, look, and I'm the person who just this year got a Crunchyroll subscription again.
Yeah.
So I could watch a show called Solo Leveling, which is, it's fine. It was the number one most watched anime of 2024, right?
Okay.
So I immediately became interested, like, what are the kids watching these days? And it's a cool show. It's sort of based around sort of a modern day age, but with a D&D vibe. And the idea being that all these people go into dungeons and fight monsters on sort of a modern thing, but you know, with magic and sorcery. And that the level that you start at is the level you can't continue as. But our main character starts as the lowest of the lowest tier levels. But he is the one person who gets the ability to level up. So he's now, by mid-season two, as strong as the strongest characters. The spike in this power level is outrageous. The storytelling is a little janky, I'll be honest with you. But it's an interesting show, well worth the watch, I think. Especially if you're into that vibe and want to see what's up.
I am really into Dandadan. There are only 12 episodes, so now I'm kind of stuck. But also Sakamoto Days, both of those are on Netflix and are really good. And then obviously, you know, like fucking Miyazaki is anime. And he is. There's all sorts of wonderful stuff that you, you know, of that, that you could watch, you know, I suspect that I am preaching to the choir. I don't think.
No, I mean, look, I'm the person who just this year, decided to go back and watch all the Loop in the Third season two. And I'm like about 40 deep right now. And I'm loving it. It's great. I like an anime about, you know, look, it's lowbrow, but it's like adults doing adult things. I don't need to see kids growing up and having their first kiss. I just don't need that in my life anymore, you know?
So, Uruus Kodoji?
I don't need that kind of first kiss either.
Things. I don't.
No.
Gina.
What are we talking about?
He's talking about tentacle porn, Gina. He's talking about tentacle porn.
You watch animation at all?
I'm not familiar. Is that the commercials in between Severance?
The commercials in between Severance?
You know, for other Apple TV shows.
Does Apple have commercials now? I feel like all of our streaming now has commercials because we can't afford to pay for the higher tier. But Apple, I feel like I still can get through a Severance without dick pill commercials.
I still pay for the lowest tier of everything. So I still get some commercials.
No, you got to get premium Hulu. You say you can watch an extra like hour of shows every night if you just get rid of commercials.
No, I do things during the commercials. Like I'll wash a dish or, you know, like that, like in the olden days when you would be like, I've got a minute to pee.
To be fair, you probably use that minute to watch the things you watch for this show.
I watch it on, I make up for it by watching it on 4x speed.
Oh my God, we're at 4x speed now, Lisa.
No,
by the end
no,
of this, by the end of this run, she's going to be at like, I watched the whole thing in a minute. What happened?
Probably true.
Anyway, look, we're watching Robotech today. This is for some reason, and I brought this up in the chat and no one responded to me. Why are we starting watching with episode 25?
Because I like flip through and I'm like, you know what? Really? The core of it? At heart. I'm gonna cop to this. I'm a little bit of a softy.
Mm-hmm. I know, Chan.
You love the love?
I loves the love. I loves me a rom-com. And honestly, like fucking giant robots aside, because like, who doesn't love fucking giant robots?
And you still get that this episode.
The core of this show, like when they give you the log line, it's like, it's a love triangle with giant robots and space fights. Yes. And this Max Myria thing isn't even the main love triangle of the show. But like, it's just what it is just like a really sweet, like star-crossed lovers thing, that works out. They end up happy. They have a kid that goes on to an entire second series, for fuck's sake.
They do.
Watching this episode in retrospect, I'm like, did you go on one date at an arcade, immediately propose, get married, like 36 hours later,
yeah.
And like, what the fuck? But also, it's still pretty great.
It's great. And also, because, and here's the deal. When I originally watched the first series, that original love triangle you're speaking of, this is the episode, if I remember correctly, that sort of like stokes that and creates that love triangle. Because up to this point, in my brain, at least, there wasn't a love triangle. It was pretty straightforward that it was just two people in a relationship that wasn't working. And then we sort of introduced the idea of this third party. And it's in my brain, watching it when I was a kid, I was like, this is left field. These two characters shouldn't be together. And then they end up making it work. And it's like crazy.
I mean, yeah. As a child, you don't realize it, like, oh, yeah, this is the setup here. This is the Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd of the show.
Yeah. And look, I don't mean to be given spoilers for a 40-year-old show. you know, I'm trying. Well, I don't know why I'm trying to avoid it. Like, you should know by now what happens on Robotech.
I don't. I watched it on 18 speed.
Oh my God.
You know what? Watch the first 36 episodes and get back to us. We'll talk.
Yeah, Gina, to be fair, the way you watch, you should have the first 36 episode watched in about, I don't know, like 2 hours probably.
By the time we're done with this podcast.
This dude greets this chick that he's going on a date with a very sexist comment.
There is some, look, gender roles are not great in this. But before we get ahead, let's jump into it, because my first note is like, what are we doing here, Chan? Like, this is one of the all-time great animated shows of all time. Why are we watching it on Knowing Is Half the Podcast, except you want to have Gina have seen at least one episode?
I can't. We've been doing this show for 9 fucking years, and Gina hasn't watched. Gina has no idea that this show, which is integral to, I think, both your and I's childhoods.
Yes.
It doesn't even know it exists. So we got to clear that up. And however it happens, like, Gina's not going to love this, and it's fine, but she needs to know about it.
That's fair. So this is a Ray and Chan for Gina episode. Different than usual.
I mean, listen, I enjoyed this. I would watch more of it.
You maybe should. I'm going to, I think, especially now that I know is it all on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What am I doing with my life? Yeah, I should probably do this. Now, first off, the intro music, like, I'm not even kidding. I got that little rumbly down my spine.
Yeah.
When it came on. That just, like, it triggered something in me. Could we hear a little bit of the iconic Robotech theme song? God, oh, I'm getting it again.
I used to sing this to my kid when he was a teeny baby. Oh. Don't know if he remembers it. I'm hoping that at some point he's just going to, like, stumble across this and be like, what the fuck is this? Hopefully I'll be dead and he'll have to try and piece together why he has these deep sense of security listening to this, but we'll see. Yeah,
do you just like leave stuff kind of out in hopes your kid will find it?
No, I squirrel it away in the back of a closet, knowing that he's going to get to it much faster there.
Ah, you know what? Fair enough. Look, I just wrote here, this music is iconic. This animation is stellar. This writing is phenomenal. Confused. I understand now, but in the moment I was like, why are we watching this? Why are we watching episode 25?
I mean, here's the thing.
You make sense.
Coming in fucking cold, how did you settle into it?
I mean, I didn't find it confusing, but also I did read like the wiki like I usually do. So I was just like, okay, this is humans versus Cylons in Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
So sure, Battlestar Galactica, like 40 feet tall. You
know. Yeah. So this is the premise of Star Trek Voyager, which unabashedly ripped off the entire concept of Robotech for that series, where they were fighting the Zentradi, like, on Earth or around Earth. If I remember this correctly, it's been a long time. And they get teleported through some sort of like Daredevil maneuver to the other side of the universe. And they have to come back through dangerous territory right and left in order to get back to Earth again. Chan, did I mess that up?
Yes.
Oh, how did I mess it up?
they end up on like the far side of the solar system.
And they gotta make it back. Not the universe, the solar system.
Yeah.
But the general idea is right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna
take them
this.
A long time through enemy territory to get home. That's the idea. Sorry, Gina, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I understood this. I wasn't pulling a Ray. I wasn't confused. I was confused why this Zatari chick or whatever the hell they're called.
Zentradi.
I'm so mad at you.
Don't you fuck with us.
Why she would go out with this dude after he said a sexist thing.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Hold on. First off,
I wrote he deserves to get stabbed as my first line.
Let's see. Here's the first thing he says.
Geez, it's getting late. I hope she's all right.
Is that the sexist part?
No.
I can't believe I asked her to meet me here in the park.
Is that the
No, sexist? It's the next one, though. It's the very next line.
A girl at night. She could get mugged or something.
A girl at night. I mean, she could get mugged or something.
Gina, that's an accurate statement. Do you go into a park in the middle of the night?
I do, but that's because I want to fight.
At no point here does he say anything sexist. Although there, believe me, there's plenty in this series that is sexist.
Look, times were different back in 1982.
for the most part, they're pretty good about it, showing those as like retrograde attitudes. Because like Lisa Hunter is like she ends up becoming the goddamn admiral,
super feminist icon, Lisa Hunter.
Oh, 100%. She's
not
like
not Lynn Minmay, but Lisa Hunter. Yes.
Look, Lynn, she got her issues, but it's fine. She's a star. What do you want from a star?
I just think he should have said, I can't believe I asked her to meet me here at night. A girl, a woman. Hopefully she can protect me.
I see. Well, I mean, again, like he learns his fucking lesson real quick because he's the one he wished he would have been mugged. She's trying to fucking end his life. She brings multiple knives to this.
Yeah, I do appreciate the fact that he's like a girl at night. And then she's like, take a knife, bitch. And she like throws it right at him.
that's part of why, like, I'm so deeply in love with the Max Myria storyline, because she is like the number one ace Zentradi pilot. She talks shit to all the other Zentradi boys, you know, in their little pods. And then, like, she comes down here and is like, oh, you beat me in a video game? I'm going to end your life.
Yeah, this is a part that I didn't remember a lot of this because, you know, Zentradi obviously are like 40 feet tall. Why is she tiny? Was there a process they do to do that? Also, I don't remember this.
I got to admit, this is a plot point that I missed, that they're very tall, because she's the first one we meet. So, and she's, you don't, not see it tall.
First one,
only at the very end of the episode when they're holding like the teddy bear or whatever in the tiny part of their hand. Is it obvious? You're right.
When we first meet them, they're like giant robots and they're fighting them. And then like one of them, gets down and it cracks open. You're like, holy fuck, what is this huge, like 40 foot tall person doing in there? And then, as they fight, they realize this is Zentradi have been like grown somehow to be super huge. But they have a micronization process. They send three of their, soldiers in as like spies, and they're like, oh shit, this is low key awesome. I don't want to go back. And then Myria, like gets beaten by Max in like a dogfight. It's like, I gotta hunt this motherfucker down. So she has the micronizer and she goes in, and then this happens.
Love.
Yeah, they're supposed to meet at the park for a date, and he's like, oh hey, you're here for our date. And she immediately pulls out a knife and she's like, I'ma cut you.
Yeah. She literally doesn't know what a date is.
No.
But she's like, okay, I'll meet you.
Yeah, I do like her one line where he says, like, why are you doing this? And she says, I am Zentradi and I have reasons.
Oh, no. We didn't even get to that, which is my favorite line of the episode. But
it's so good.
It starts out with,
Maximilian, prepare for your doom.
I mean, if that doesn't.
Pretty good.
I don't know what.
I think this is the moment he decides to marry her.
Yes, I would.
Mean, yeah. And then. Where is it? Oh yeah, here we go.
But why do you want revenge?
I have reasons.
I have reasons.
I have reasons, and they don't. They're not important to you.
Listen, I get it. When you're in the process of throwing a knife, you don't want to be like, okay, well, here's the whole history of why I'm doing this, because it really halts your knife throwing momentum.
There's a backstory to this, okay? But no time. You should have read the Wikipedia article.
I will ask this question, Gina. You've been on plenty enough first dates. How many wound up in knife fights?
Oh, I mean, not that many. I would say only probably 8%.
Just the good ones.
That's true.
You heard it here first, everybody. 150 of Gina Ippolito's first dates ended in knife fights.
That's probably true.
The rest ended up in gunfights. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, listen, they should have known better than to bring a rose to a gunfight.
Yeah, well, boy, they're just messing up at that point. What are we doing here? Look, they have a knife fight. He wins the knife fight after trying not to fight. And what I love about it is he bests her in one-on-one combat. And she's like, sexist. Literally tears in her eyes saying, please just kill me. I can't take this life anymore. And he's like, I don't know. I kind of still want this date.
sort of reading into it, it is really interesting because this is coming from Japan. And like Bushido culture and samurai, blah, 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 is kind of overblown. But there is an element of that, and that warrior culture confronting civilian culture. You have the others and try to spies. We're like, yeah, no, this is, we don't want to fight anymore. And her, you know, basically, you know, like, I want to commit seppuku because, you know, I got beaten by you multiple times.
It's not even seppuku. It's literally a suicide by cop at this point.
Well, I mean, like, I believe traditionally what happens is the samurai would like stick the sword into him, you know, yank it around, and then someone would cut his head off because having a sword in your gut sucks a lot. So
how
not the
would
best
you
feeling.
Know, Chan?
I've seen movies.
Please, huh? Please do it now.
But I couldn't. You're so beautiful.
Now, yes. Yeah, 100%. Like, I feel like in this instance, like, the dialogue is sort of dumbed down for kids. Like, well, you got smoking titties, so obviously I can't let you go. He does, like, they are literally, metaphorically or whatever, like floating on air when they kiss. Yes. Later on, Rick Hunter is going to be like, he's going to come off as like a huge asshole. Like, all right, like foreigners can be pretty. Ugh. But like Max is just like, they got their soulmates.
But they've interacted before this, you say?
In battle. So that's, you know, they're, no.
There is an upsetting aspect of it where it's like, why would I kill you when I can own you?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, like, I want to see the alt scene to this where, like, she shows up for the date and she's ugly and she's like, do it now. And he's like, yeah, okay. If you were hot, I wouldn't kill you. But since you're such an ugh, I'm going to do it.
She's like, kill me now. And he's like, yeah, obviously. You goddamn uggo.
And at this point, it's 4:25 into the episode after a minute 30 of intro music. Which,
this is the opening scene.
Yes.
Motherfucker earns every second of that 90 seconds, let me tell you. But then, minutes later.
This is going to sound crazy, but will you marry me?
That is so fast.
Even remembering this happens, this was shocking to me.
And even better.
Mary, what's Mary?
It's something no words can describe.
Bro, there are so many words that can describe it. It's pretty goddamn easy.
I would be like, does it does it involve a sandwich? Like, can you narrow it down, man? Like, this is like if someone came up to you and was like, will you fleep-florp me? And you're like, I mean, I have no way to answer that. I don't know if I will. Am I doing it right now by breathing near you?
In retrospect, pretty goddamn silly, makes no sense. To, you know, like, I don't even know how old I was, 7, 8 years old, me, I was like, well, that's what love is. That's how it happens.
Oh, is that what happened? Is your partner best you in a knife fight?
I mean, that's not the question. The question is, how many people were surprised that our first date involved a knife fight?
Yeah, not at all.
I thought it was normal. Apparently not everybody had seen Robotech. It's like Gina says.
Tomorrow's ready.
I'm old enough to remember when that relationship started. In conjunction with this show. We've really lived a life on this show, haven't we?
Indeed.
In the year 2025, did I enjoy someone asking, will the Canadians offer us asylum? Yes, in fact, I did.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
We want SSP! We want SSP!
You got them. Here's Kenner's SSP Peewees. They're great little SSPs. The driver's in his cockpit, in goes the easy pull T-stick, a quick tug and...
go!
They're off, scooting along indoors or out. They're so easy to rev up and race.
Go!
SSP Peewees with easy pull T-sticks and driver. Each racer sold separately.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
We're moving on to the next scene. We meet Lieutenant Rick Hunter, the main protagonist of the Robotech television show. And Max says, I'm getting married. And Rick Hunter's answer is, what are you doing? And me as a viewer say, yeah, seriously, what are you doing here? This
again,
seems real dumb.
7-year-old me would disagree. Because as we've established, that's what love is. There are no words for it, but you get married as soon as you have the knife fight.
And what's great is Rick Hunter is going off on a xenophobic rant. He says, the Zentradi have killed your family. The Zentradi are a threat at all times. The Zentradi want to murder the planet you come from. Oh, she's hot. Oh boy, she's real hot. You know what? I get it, bro. Fist bump.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy that no one around him is like, hey man, maybe you want to wait a month or 2 months or like 3 months.
It doesn't help that his best friend is like, yo, I get it. Marry her tonight. I know I just met her, but I'd do it.
Like in defense of the story, it moves pretty quickly at this point. They've been sort of sparring. The Zentradi have been sparring with the SDF-1 up until this point. And once this information about Earth culture starts leaking out to the soldiers, the high chief.
It's beginning
of
the end.
We gotta nuke these motherfuckers. Just glass the entire planet. Otherwise, they're gonna figure out teddy bears exist.
Too late, bro.
We gotta move this part along. They're like, oh look, turns out they can get along and everything's cool. And so it's not the soldiers that are the problem. It's the higher ups.
Yeah, and we get our glimpse, and I forgot this was a thing until it happened on screen, but we see what the Zentradi are doing on their side as well. Like, that is an essential part of what we're watching. The humans are known as Micronians to the Zentradi because they are very, very small.
They are very small.
And love is considered a weapon against the Zentradi people.
Show of hands, how many people are surprised that the other character that I latched on to and identified with most is Exidor, the
not
tiny,
even a little bit
weird voice, who's super smart, telling the big boss what's going on.
No, cronies are your bag, Chan. I get it.
100%.
Look, I'm assuming Salacious Crumb is your favorite Star Wars character.
He's everyone's favorite Star Wars character.
That was a trick question. He is, in fact, everyone's favorite Star Wars character. moving on. We're going straight to the wedding. We're not messing around here.
Pow, at the gate.
It is literally
time to send out wedding invitations.
Here's the thing. They're all on a ship.
Yeah, this is a city-sized ship.
Everybody's inside. Nobody's going anywhere.
So you
honestly
think they just made an announcement that was like, wedding, 10 minutes.
It's a city-sized ship that has like CNN like 24/7, but only about that ship.
Yeah. There's no other news, y'all. And yeah, if it turned out that there's an alien species that we've been at war with, and all of a sudden, like the number one ace fighter pilot decided to marry one of them, you're like, yeah. Yeah, I should go see this. This feels like it could be important.
Yeah, this would make the rounds quickly on the MDS-1. I'll just say that right now.
The what?
So we go to the wedding.
The what? And stop. What did you call it?
I'm sorry. Excuse me. The SDF-1.
Gina can make that mistake. You cannot.
That's what I get for trying to do it without looking at it in front of me after this much time. I almost said MGS-1, and that's just Metal Gear Solid with... And that's just wrong, right. And I knew it. So I changed one of the letters in my mind, and that wasn't good enough. Moving on. Look, Captain Glovel is here. Hugely important character to this series. He is a wedding guest and a speaker at the wedding.
He starts out with maybe not the greatest tack.
Let's hear some of it.
As you all know, Miria was a Zentradi warrior who destroyed many of our own ships. She comes from a culture that we have grown to fear and hate.
Oh, no.
They alone prevent our return to Earth, our homes, and our beloved families. It is they who have caused injury, destruction, and endless suffering.
So that's the best man speech.
Yeah, he had me in the first half, I'm not going to lie.
And then he's like, but yeah, we this proves that we can all come together. There's a weird thing in the middle about a fucking blood test, which I don't feel great about.
They're like, we need to make sure she's totally white. And yeah, they're like, yeah, well, exactly. Hell, she's an alien. And it's like, it doesn't matter. I stand by what I said.
Like, I get what they're going for, but yeah.
Yeah, like literally, he literally opens up and there are like dozens of people at the wedding being like, I mean, maybe we should need to pull him off stage. We need to, this is not okay what he's doing.
Who let racist uncle talk? Jesus Christ. Get him off.
But then...
I remind you of these brutal acts, ladies and gentlemen, because we must learn to forgive our enemies.
Yeah! That's right! there's a speech you're not going to get for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm full of doubt, but that's mature of him. He is a career military man, literally the head of the military, defending these people's lives at every moment of every day from this enemy. And he drops that halfway through the speech. And I am, even now watching, I'm like, oh shit, okay. Okay, I want to hear what this guy's got to say.
It's pretty dope.
It's kind of great. Immediately cut to the Zentradi, who say, oh, we got to incinerate the entire Earth now.
one guy feels kind of bad about it.
He did, not just him, you're right. But like, literally, they cut to Zentradi and they're like, this is bad. Because this is being broadcast to them as well. And the people watching it are like, are we the baddies?
Here's the thing. I, of course, got all of the novelizations.
Of course, you did.
A whole thing about how they got basically like pirate signals. They're getting all of the media that the SDF one is broadcasting to, you know, just like the citizens and whatnot. And that's how they start to be like, what is going on here? The spies, the first group of spies, I believe they go because they saw Lin Min Mei. They're like, wait, what? That's a thing.
Lin Min Mei will literally turn people traitor.
Lin Manuel Miranda's in this.
Yes.
Good for him.
He does a great rap in the next episode about the founding Zentradi fathers.
But we cut back to the wedding, and Lin Min Mei is here. Our own pop star, sometimes love interest of Captain Rick Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But really, she doesn't like him. She likes her manager, who is drunk 24/7 and treats her like shit.
I mean, all she wants to do is be a star. That's it.
And you know what? Does Rick Hunter or her manager get her closer to that goal?
There you go.
What I remember is there's a moment where she's like fighting with her manager boyfriend, and he takes a half full literal Jack Daniels bottle. They animated it. And it's a full on Jack, and he just gets pissed. He smashes it. And I'm just like, God damn.
Wait, what?
That happens in this show. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Apparently, I need to go back and
get the square Jack Daniels bottle. And he just gets so mad at her bullshit. And to be fair, it's his bullshit, but he takes it as her bullshit, right?
Sure.
And he's just hammered, like sitting on a curb in like a rainstorm or something. And he's just done with her shit. And he smashes it. And he's like, this is over. And it's like one of those moments that hit me. Like years later, because that memory was ensconced into my brain. And then like 10 years, 15 years later, I learned what Jack Daniels bottles looked like. And I went, oh, shit. It's that thing from Robotech. That is a true story.
No, those animators will tell you that it's iced tea.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I don't think in Japan they gave a shit. Like, yeah, kid, you're going to have to learn this eventually. What you're going to want to do is beat the musical superstar that you're managing. So stay in line.
Terrible. We get into some shit on Robotech. That's right. But I do want to hear Lin Min Mei sing the song, of course.
Oh, of course.
Chasing a dream. Why do I hope and pray that he will care? He never stops to see I'm even there.
Just like cutting to all these people being like, this is the most
beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Can I just say right now, after hearing that, Lyndon May is a terrible singer.
Wow. Wow.
She's not good. I was shocked.
Not like they have a lot of choices on the, was the MOP-1? I forget the name of the boat that they're on in space. Is that it?
Oh, it was the MVP-1, yes.
I see.
Maybe this is what good singing sounds like in the space future. You don't know. You don't know how we're gonna
Boy, adapt. I don't know. I remember Lin-Manuel sounding like, you know, the best of Gem, the best of pop stars in animation. And then I heard this earlier today, and I thought to myself, this is not good at all. This is off tune. This is, in fact, terrible.
It's fine. It's fine. It's for little kids. And
yeah, well, in the moment, I didn't understand this was bad. So, you know, there you go. Zentradi choose this moment. I'm not going to say it's because of Lin-Manuel singing. I'm just going to say it's probably because of Lin-Manuel singing. They choose this moment to attack the ship where the wedding is happening.
Well, everybody's, like, busy.
I guess. But they're just like, this singing is so bad. We need to kill everyone who heard it.
This singing is so good. We're afraid that all of our troops are going to rebel, which they do.
Correctly. Look, they say, Max, Miria, you are excused from this battle. And he says, no, I'm obviously going to fight. You stay here, Miria. And she says, no, I'm a better pilot than literally everyone but you.
Good for you, girl. Get
but
it.
Then she acts as his co-pilot. She doesn't even take her own Veritech fighter or whatever.
We can only do so much in 1985 Japan. Or 1980.
That pissed me off, Chan. She should have her own ship if she's such a good pilot.
Yes, but also, just because she's a good pilot doesn't mean she can get into a completely alien technology ship and do anything with it.
I'm sorry. She's got to be better than the worst Veritech pilot. Make someone a healthy scratch is what I'm trying to say.
But maybe you gotta get her in a ship. Both together so that that's like the one that's killing the Death Star.
Yeah, you need Lando and what is his name?
Chewbacca. Nub?
No. From Return of the Jedi.
Oh, earlier you're talking about Nub.
Thank you.
I think that's his name.
You don't know.
No, nobody knows. Somebody knows, and they're very upset right now.
Ninum. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, those letters don't work. N-I-E-N-N-U-N-B. Ninumb.
Somehow that's racist.
That's probably true, yeah.
Yeah. Well, his line of, she says, I'm going to fight with you. And his response of, I have no choice but to let you.
Yeah, because they're married now.
Gender roles in Japan in 1982, ladies and gentlemen. I was very uncomfortable by all of this, I'll just say.
Because of the singing.
Yeah, only because of the singing. Nothing else upset me. Gina, how did you, and this is the real question. I'm talking too much. How did all of this make you feel as a new viewer?
I liked it. I didn't think it was bad. It like reminded me of other anime. I'm not like the hugest anime fan. I have pockets that I like. Like whatchamacallit with the two brothers and one's
so
in a,
good
in a robot
whatchamacallit with the two brothers.
Full Metal Alchemist.
I've watched most of one version and some of another version. I watched Full Metal Alchemist. I think it was the OG.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, they're both real good.
The second one has a colon name.
Brotherhood.
Yeah. I think maybe I watched like one or two episodes of that, and then I was like, oh, I got to come back to it, and then I never came back to it. But I watched almost all of the OG, and I loved it.
It's real good.
Do not put that on the slate, please.
No, I know what episode it'll be.
Okay, great.
Do you? You know.
I never watched Full Metal Alchemist. I'm aware of it. I had to study it for who would win, but I'm not going to say I remember any of it.
Guess what's going on the list?
God, you're not going to please, Chan. No, don't do that to us.
Oh, my. People who have seen the show know where I'm going with this. So
wait, I don't know where you're going. You're talking about OG Full Metal or new Full Metal?
You'll know. It's in both.
Or just the movie Full Metal Jacket.
Let's just watch Full Metal Jacket.
I mean, Vincent
D'Onofrio. What is your major malfunction, Private Pyle?
I liked this. This is one that I would watch more. I didn't have any major problems with it. It did remind me of like a first draft anime version of Battlestar Galactica.
And for good reason.
The good Battlestar Galactica, not the 80s version.
No, the new Battlestar.
Yeah.
Wasn't the original version from the 70s? They wore bell bottoms.
Yes. Yeah. I think it was 70s, maybe into like 81, though, or something.
I thought it only lasted like one season because it was so expensive to make.
It's very possible.
1978.
Okay.
And only lasted one season. There we go. Guys, I got one thing right. High five me.
In 11 years, it was bound to happen. I feel like I got something right like two weeks ago.
But no, I don't expect any dabs.
A stopped clock is right once every 11 years.
That seems correct.
I mean, you're accurate.
Not going to check it.
Works for me. This battle scene, there's a huge battle scene. And this is where I just wrote, Robotech is so badass. It's so great. Like these space fights and just they are obviously aping Star Wars and the Death Star run and all the space fights in Star Wars, the original movie, but they do it so well.
Yeah.
The fights have stakes. It's obvious what's going on. It doesn't feel like it's just Michael Bay fights where it's I punch you, you punch me until we decide we're done. It's just like, I loved this. And then it's somewhere in there, Max and Miria decide, let's just cripple the Zentradi robots. Let's not kill them. Let's make it so they can't fight anymore. And they start targeting them directly. And at first, Max goes to Rick Hunter and he's like, I don't know, man, I'm just off today. And Rick Hunter's like, no, you're not. I see what you're doing, you asshole. And I loved that. It's so good.
It is, yo.
And so the Zentradi break through and actually like hurt the human ship. The SPF 51.
That is correct. Yes. They have to protect themselves.
They have to protect the sun. And the Zentradi, all the best Zentradi pilots have seen everything on pirate TV. And they've seen the way that they're fighting. They see the fight and then they say, we got to get out there. And they all go, no, dude. In fact, if you ask us again, we're just going to shoot you here in the hallway. Holy shit. What a show. And I just wrote here, oh, shit, love is going to win. And it's because they have law on their side. So, you know, they're awesome. This is the ACLU of Zentradi pilots. They say it is against Zentradi law to attack that ship when we think Zentradi agents are aboard that ship. They have actual justification to stand down, not just, I don't wanna. And that's what makes this show a cut above. I was shaking with delight when this happened.
Pretty great.
Welcome back to Me and Chan Agree Things Are Great. It makes for compelling podcasting.
This is cool. I still did not realize they were giants. I feel like that is bad storytelling. If I cannot tell you are a giant.
Gina,
to be fair,
stepping in at episode 25.
There's some context missing, and that is fully on me.
I also don't think it's like, I don't think the Wikipedia page was like, also they're giants. I think it was just like, hey, this one race is kind of like the Cylons. And then this other race is like humanity.
Do they say Cylons at any point? Because that feels like something you brought on board yourself.
Gina is somebody who will watch Severance season 2, episode 8, where Harmony Cobell says she invented the procedure. And she goes, they didn't talk about what the Severance procedure is in this episode. I'm confused.
Listen, wait a minute,
how are they like Cylons? How is Lumen supposed to be a Cylon metaphor?
No, I actually understood that completely.
It's because the Cylons want to be able to go and massacre humanity, but then they want to unwind when they get home from work. So they don't want to remember the massacres.
No, the Cylons want to, like, you know, work undercover, you know, helping Scott Bakula. And then they want to murder humanity. I get it. God, I love that show. That show is so good. And yes, the ending is disappointing. But that show is so good.
You talking about Enterprise?
Somehow, no. I'm talking about Battlestar Galactica. The real one.
I see, I can't tell if you making a reference to Scott Bakula was a joke, which I assumed it was, or you were actually confusing him.
It was a quantum leap joke, Chan, because Dean Stockwell, I'm going to blow it all right now. Dean Stockwell helped Scott Bakula in Quantum Leap,
right?
But lo and behold, later in Battlestar Galactica, it turns out he's a Cylon.
Okay.
I can't believe I need to explain this to you.
How does this relate to Enterprise?
There are Cylons on the Enterprise.
Shit.
Yeah, you didn't know.
I totally missed that.
Yeah.
All right. Makes sense.
Anyway, the Zentradi retreat from the attack. And let's go to the wrap-up part. Miria is trying to... What is she doing? She's trying to cook pizza rolls in a pan or something, and she uses oil, and it burns half the kitchen down?
Yes.
What the F is going on here?
This is what happens when you try and constrict people to gender norms.
I was going to say, this is what happens when you order a mail order bride.
Dang.
How dare you?
She shows up and throws a knife at you?
I mean, if you're lucky.
No, that's pretty hot.
Because she doesn't really understand human language. But yet she says oil, it says, is used for cooking. And yet I poured half of it on the stove and I created a massive
fire. This isn't that dumb, to be honest. Like, if you find something and it's like for cooking and then you're like, oh, this apparatus is used to cook things on. And now I find this oil that is used for cooking.
Yeah.
Not that dumb.
Like, there's 0% chance that she ever had to cook anything back on her battleship. She probably just like ate food out of a tube, whatever.
Yeah.
And now she's like, okay, well, I'm married to a human. Let's try and do some human stuff. And this dope obviously has never cooked either. So he was like, oh, sweet. I got a hot wife who's going to make me dinner.
Yep.
I'll just go into the living room and wait for the food to come out, because that's the extent of what he knows. And things go about as well.
And then he's like, oh boy, coffee time's going to suck.
I guess I'm mad because I've also done this. cut to Rick Hunter, who's alone again. And we get maybe the best piece of relationship advice I've ever seen in any media. Rick Hunter says,
Roy, you tried to tell me something once. Before you love someone, you have to like them first.
That's great advice.
Genuinely is.
Granted, Max and Miria didn't follow that.
I mean, they do?
No, she was trying to murder him, and he wanted to bone. That's not the same as liking them first.
Turns out they both like to try and murder each other. So
well, yeah, they already have something in common.
Yeah, find a common interest. That's true. You know what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I'm on board.
I mean, most of my dating app profiles start with, I would like to murder you. Or at least lock you in my basement.
How does that work?
I think last time I checked Hinge, I had 93 unaccepted swipes and messages.
I don't know what that means, so I'm going to assume
93 people have slid into my DMs, Chan.
I see.
Honestly, that feels more upsetting than anything else. I don't even know. I've never been on a dating app.
They're hilarious.
They don't, I feel like they're soul crushing.
You're convincing yourself they're hilarious. It depends on why you're on there. If you genuinely think you're going to find love, well, then you're an idiot. And they are soul crushing. If you're doing it for the lulz, it's never disappointing.
Wow.
Maybe I'm just too earnest. But wait, so Gina, wait a minute. So here's the deal. For the people at home, how many of these apps do you, have you been on in the past? We're not going to talk about right now. And how many times have you gone on dates from these apps? I'll be honest, I'm just weirdly fascinated because this is an aspect of our culture that I never had to deal with.
I haven't been on a ton of them. Sometimes when I'm bored, I'll sign up for some and just sort of window shop. I've maybe been on four different ones, probably Bumble, Hinge, Raya. And
I know what Hinge is, and that's it.
Raya is like the one for celebrities. Like you have to apply, you submit pictures, you submit your IMDb.
I thought Raya was if you're trying to hook up with dragons.
Uh-huh. Honestly, I would sign up for that one. I have gone on two dates from them. They're both fun. I declined a second date in both instances.
Man.
Were
they celebrities or were you the celebrity?
No, they weren't Raya ones. I have seen a lot of celebrities on Raya. I saw Ian Ziering. I saw Everybody Hates Chris.
Wait, whoa, you had a chance to go out with Ian Ziering and you declined? Are you out of your mind?
I don't know. Maybe I swiped on him and he didn't swipe on me or something. I don't remember, to be honest. I don't usually swipe that much.
Okay. Okay. Here's the deal. I'm less upset with you. If you have a chance to go out with the lead in Sharknado and you say no.
Wait a minute. Did you say Everybody Hates Chris?
Yeah.
You mean Tyler James Williams?
Yeah.
Him. Gregory Eddy from Abbott Elementary?
Wait, from Abbott Elementary? I just watched that.
Yes, him I did swipe on.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? He's beautiful.
I think he did not swipe back, so.
Greg, what are you doing?
I mean.
You had a shot and you blew it.
I mean,
let's get him on the show.
Call me, dude.
Let's get him on the show to talk about this.
Gina, you had a chance to get into the writer's room of one of the best sitcoms on television. How could you blow that?
I mean, call me, dude.
You guys, I just watched Abbott Elementary before we started tonight.
Yeah, that dude's on Raya. He was a year ago.
No. I'm at the Valentine's Day episode of the current season.
Okay.
I'm behind, but not so far behind.
But I do show up for every date with a knife. I throw it at the guy, see how he reacts, and that dictates whether or not we get a second date.
No, correctly, and explains why you haven't gone on a second date with
him. Listen, none of them reacted in a way that I liked.
So I'm going to ask this question now. Chan, how many dating apps did you go on?
I was on OkCupid.
Okay.
Because before it was a dating app, they just had like a bunch of quizzes and shit. So I was on it. Mm-hmm. And then it became a dating app. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just leave it up then. And fingers crossed, maybe something will happen. Spoiler, nothing happened. Not a goddamn thing.
Oh, what a disappointment.
It'll happen.
See, I feel like if I was on one of those dating apps back in the day and I just put my height on there, and nothing else, I could have got something.
I mean, your height and nothing else about you and no pictures.
Nothing else. It just says I'm 6'4". The end. I could have gotten something. Gina, tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
Finally, it had to happen eventually. Jan, that's our walk-off.
I'd rather sit in this.
Why are we still going? Do you want post-credits? Is that all you're trying to do right now? People don't listen to this.
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like...
Is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.